coming into the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt here on HD Media and Video Productions. And I'm Brandon Lowe. Next to me, my co-host, the WVUB writer, is Ryan Pritt. And also, across from us, the beautiful...
He's the only AP voter.
And the only AP voter, yes. I forget the... And he's a Hall of Famer. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. You forgot that part.
That's
yeah,
the part we should start with.
I mean, really, everything else is secondary.
Across from us, our beautiful producer and the voice of University of Charleston Athletics.
He's never called me beautiful.
Suck
Jack,
it up for some
reason. Over a year, Jack. Yeah. Just want you to know.
We're just hoping beautiful. You stick around and make this show as good as it is every day so that we do this.
If I shave my beard, will I be beautiful then?
You're never going to shave your beard.
You should try it.
You're never going to be. But both of those things are correct.
They kind of go together.
It's fun, yeah. Yeah.
We have established that we do have a face for radio. I always hated that joke when people would say that. Like, yeah, you do got a face for radio.
Wait. Did you just come up with that, bro?
Yeah. Like, I've never heard that one. I've never heard that one before. But, yeah, it's good to be here, man. 23rd of May. It is Monday. It is rainy and cold outside. I thought it was going to be warmer. I was wearing shorts today. I wore a polo today because my daughter had awards at her school. So
I was going to say, somebody make you do that again?
Yeah, I was forced to dress up. My wife goes, are you gonna dress presentable tomorrow? I was like, explain presentable.
You're not a suit and tie guy?
No.
To me, that just sounds like, are you going to dress like you dress every day or not?
Pretty much, yeah. Are you going to wear one of those shirts with, you know, stuff on it? So I had to wear a polo, and I don't look like I had a job.
I had shorts on, and then I took one step out on the front porch and turned around. Changed. Short, or jeans.
Well, it's gotten colder outside. It started out kind of warm, and then now the rain, and it's just...
Well, it was 100 degrees on Saturday, so...
Yeah. Dude, the brutal last 2 days.
Makes sense. Yesterday was kind of nice.
It was nice, but man, it's...
Yesterday was good.
Damn, Friday and Saturday was like 100 degrees. Yeah.
And this is out of nowhere. It's like 79, yeah. 95, 95, 73. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Mother Nature.
And now we're 58, I think, outside right now. So.
Wait, there's a track meet? Okay. Time to cook, everybody.
Let's go. No shade. Okay, yeah, come on.
Right.
Cool.
All right, so we got, two guests. We got one confirmed. We're waiting on the other guest. Kennedy Dean, senior catcher with Winfield softball squad. Entering the state tournament there, knocked off Scott recently, right? In the regionals.
Yep, back-to-back close games.
Back-to-back wins there. Last one, I think, was 6-4.
Yep. First five, one was 4-2.
Yeah, five players had a couple RBIs, right? They're cooking. They also won, four games in 4 days in the sectionals and won the sectional
five
title
in
there.
A row,
against two really good squads, too, in Nitro and Sissonville. So... we'll be excited to talk to her.
Yeah, state tournament starts Wednesday, as Jack told me. I keep wanting to say tomorrow. It's not. It's Wednesday. I don't know why.
It's Wednesday. I'd be nervous.
Gave Jack a heart attack.
Well, we got equipment being delivered.
If I go up there tomorrow, I'm going to be so pissed off. Like, you see me rolling in at 9 o'clock. All right. Nobody here.
Nobody there.
Boy, parking is easier to find.
I'll tell you who's
going to
be there, though. But
you?
There'll be people there.
Yeah, there will be.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to be there tomorrow afternoon.
Later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are going to be doing a preview, right, coming up for HD?
Yeah, couple. We're going to get Grant on there. So I think Jack's going to put me off screen to the right, just like Grant in the picture, and then Grant you'll just hear my voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can mime it.
Yes, that's one thing we got. Also, tonight, the release of the Alkanaw Valley softball team, so be on the lookout for that, too.
Nice. How did the photo shoot go? Didn't you have to go to that, the Alkanaw? They just had you kind of stand there?
Yeah, it was really important that I was there.
Did you just stand there while they were doing it?
Yeah.
It went exactly how Ryan thought it was going
to
go.
You weren't in the photo.
It's always good to go and talk to some people that, you know, you like to talk to. But otherwise, there was no reason.
Why were you not in the photo?
Because I'm not beautiful, Jack. I don't know if you heard the first 5 minutes of the show. That's why my little ex tomorrow at our video shoot's going to be like in right field. Grant's going to be on home plate.
It'll say... Ryan Pritt on the phone.
call in
from right field.
That's hilarious. We got Ryan Pritt, our co-host of this preview.
You'll have Brandon will walk by the fence and something not presentable.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll just be out there.
That's great, man. So you guys are going to be out there doing that, getting folks ready for the softball tournament, which is great.
And, yeah, man. Ready to go. It'll be a fun couple days.
So it's been 19 years since... Winfield's been in the state tournament.
Yes. I
didn't know that.
So wow. a really fun stat, Kennedy Dean, born in the same year Winfield last made the state tournament, which was also the same year I graduated high school.
Oh, okay. So when I followed you a year later.
Yeah, she said, I can't believe that, you know. I was born in that year, and I'm like,
I graduated that year.
Graduated high school that year, but thank you.
There are those moments where you realize, man, I'm old. Like, they just hit you.
I'm trying to do quick, man. 2003?
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you? 42?
picture was 1903.
I
so
love that. Yes, I was 42.
Both boys are already through college.
Yes. No.
No. But, yeah.
Hey, yes. But I got the last one, graduated Friday, so.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yesterday was a big day for sports, by the way. I had a lot of things going yesterday.
Yeah.
Jack can take one. You see really, really close, man.
Oh,
what a run. What a run.
I watched that.
Came up a game short, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat by East Stroudsburg. 6-3 in the final.
They had a lightning delay necessary. In that,
yeah, they had to throw that in, you know.
Of course.
Wouldn't be a baseball tournament if you didn't have that. But
rallied. What lost their first one, right?
Lost the first one to Millersville back on Thursday.
Yeah.
Can't remember what day it is, but and then fought back through, defeated Gannon, and then just lapped Millersville again, like 16 to 3,
I think,
something like that, and then turned around yesterday and put 16 runs up on East Stroudsburg in the first game, and won that one, and then it was a close game that second one, but they lost 6-3, so
a heck of a run by those guys,
ended up amazing. 40 wins on the season, so 40-18, I believe it was their final record, but almost had the 41 wins in one season. It's the season best. That was back in 2019 when they came one game away from going to the World Series under Andrew Wright. Mm. So, but they would have tied it yesterday if they won. But, you know, they got a lot of good kids coming back. So
Yeah. And a heck of a run. Anytime you lose that first one, you make it all the way back.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. It's a lot of fight and some for a coach to be. I'm sure if you talked to Robbie today, he'd be disappointed but pretty proud of what that squad did this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how tough postseason play is, especially in college baseball. I mean, you're talking about a program 40-18. That's a hell of a record.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had a battle back, and that shows how talented these schools are, man. Yeah. It's
think
brutal.
About 58 games.
That's
starting the 1st of February. So, but that's college. Ton. That's college baseball, college softball.
Yeah,
I was going to say, brutal. Speaking of 50 games, Virginia Tech softball played their 51st. Hurricane product Jamie Bailey. Home runs on consecutive days in the regional, including one in an elimination game against Kentucky yesterday as the Hokies win back-to-back games over the Cats, claim the region, and they're off to super regionals now. So last year I think they lost a super regional series to UCLA. They're back on that doorstep again, but she's hitting, what, 3 or 4 hole, one of the two, and is really – really making a name for herself, man. She's turning. I mean, it's just some kind of career she's had, and it's been this way since she was a freshman. I mean, her numbers are great. And, you know, I was sitting there last night, and I was watching highlights and saw her yard again, and I was trying to think, you know, of the best softball exports this team's had, or this state has had.
Yeah.
And she's really on the shortest of, I mean, who are you putting up there with her? Zirkle, I guess. Is that it? I mean, the career she's putting together, and especially if they're able to sneak through super regionals this time around, and they've only lost 8 games, they're really good. She can get into that College World Series, which is just a step away now. Really, really, really impressive stuff, and a hell of a career she's put together. And we're going to try to get her on here sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to have her on here. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so
see her all the time back here in town working out.
Yeah,
here locally. So
and she's a. She works as hard as – I mean, this is a kid, Brandon. I don't know, Jack may know this story, but I don't figure you do, and a lot of our listeners probably don't. This is a kid that was playing travel ball her junior year and was trying to beat out a ground ball to first base. Lunges for first, her foot goes the wrong way, and she has a compound fracture of her ankle. Comes through her skin, straight up Jason Kendall-esque, if you remember that. She's playing softball 3 months later.
Yeah, that's –
the original diagnosis was 6 months.
Yeah. Those are nothing to play around with, man.
Yeah. I think she missed like a week or two of the high school season. That was it. She was right back in there, and she's just that's tough. That's who she is. She's tough as nails. So,
yeah.
That was really good to see yesterday, too. And it feels weird rooting for Virginia Tech and anything, but I think that Virginia Tech softball team has a lot of fans around here. So.
Yeah, that's just, it's always cool. I know we talked about that with some local, local talent, local products going off and being able to see them on TV and crush. It's really cool. I love seeing that. So it sucks that we don't have, like we've talked about before, with WVU and trying to get Shane Lyon to talk about softball with that too. So
we'll see what happens. Stay tuned on that front, by the way.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Ooh, a little teaser.
May look at the Herald Dispatch and Gazette Mail tomorrow.
There you go.
There you go, folks.
I felt it in my loins that the story was coming.
I mean, between that and an All Valley softball, if you're not picking up a pair tomorrow, I don't know what's wrong with you.
There you go. So make sure to check that out. Yeah, it's gotta happen.
And the state softball preview coming up. So.
That won't be in tomorrow's paper.
No, but it will.
It'll be on Wednesday, and then we'll have three writers at the tournament. Grant,
wow.
Myself.
Well, you got three fields.
So. And Chuck Landon. Well, it'll be Chuck writing some column stuff up there. Grant's handling AAA, and I'm going to handle AA, I believe, is what we're looking
at. Am I
at
doing
right
interviews?
Now.
Are you going to interview me?
Yeah, if you want to. Come sit down there. I'm just going to interview Bryce Castro the whole time, I think.
That's good.
We're just going to have – I think we're going to go Facebook Live and just have a five-hour running commentary about how bad it sucks to be a Pirate fan.
AC/DC.
Kiss.
By the way,
Kiss.
Yeah. Great performance. Sorry, they turned Bryce. In again yesterday.
18 to nothing is what I was looking at.
So they've been beaten in two games this year, by the way.
Yeah,
I saw
the cards.
They've been beaten 21-0 and 18-0 already this year.
Bad.
We're not even to June.
I was just happy.
They're still four games ahead of the Reds.
I was just happy for you. It was the top of the ninth because it would have been 18-0 at like the fifth inning.
Well, yeah. I mean, you messaged me that, and like I think most fans of teams would be like, "Oh," and I'm just kind of like, "Yeah," and like that sounds about right to me. Okay.
I just so happened to see it. I'm like, "Oh my god!" I got the notification from some app or whatever, and I was like, "Jeez, 18-0!"
And I can't wait to go off on NASCAR here later too. What a joke that was last night.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anyone watched that. I'm sure neither one of you did, but
I caught, like, a little bit. I always watch a little bit of the beginning, and then I end up turning it off, or I end up getting distracted.
It's unbelievable that one organization can screw up that consistently. It is unreal how often they're wrong.
I can't wait to hear this.
95% of the time, they're wrong. It's unbelievable.
95%.
It's almost like you would have to try to be wrong that often and then get lucky to be that wrong that often. That last night was a disaster, again.
I want to hear what your thoughts are on it, but we got to get to our guest, I think.
Yeah, we're going to call Kennedy Dean, so we're going to go to a different chapter here. So.
All right, let's
kill this before I get angry, before I got to interview a kid.
So. Talking to Winfield softball senior catcher Kennedy Dean. She's going to join us on here. State tournament coming up like we were talking about, so we'll get her take on the team's performance and kind of a little preview herself from her side of the things with her team as well. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're back here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt.
To the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt with the beautiful Jack Withrow sitting across from us, as Brandon said. joining us on the phone, senior catcher, senior shortstop, senior slugger, senior boat rower, Kennedy Dean. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good. First thing, tell us a little bit about what row the boat means to you guys.
So row the boat. So that started one day at the beginning of the season. We were all kind of huddled around, and Coach Hensley just kind of said, you know, we're going to row the boat this year. We're all paddling in the same direction, and if somebody's not paddling or somebody's paddling the opposite direction, we can't get to where we're going. And so we just kind of hung on to that, and we just kind of thought it was funny at first, but then we kind of came together as a team and thought, you know what, Coach Hensley, that's a really good saying. We're going to kind of make that our thing this year is row the boat. So we've got some oars. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but they say Lady Jen's on them, and we take them everywhere with us, and we're constantly rowing the boat.
Yeah, Kennedy, speaking of that, obviously we were just talking about the sectional round where you went 4 games, 4 days, and won against some quality programs there in Nitro. And so obviously you all are quality as well. But, you know, just to go through that process, you talk about accountability to get through that and beat some really competition, that really had to give you some momentum hanging into the next round, and now you're in the state tournament.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel as we come from the hardest section in the state, no doubt. And those games were big wins for us. They gave our team a lot of confidence, and I'm really proud of the girls and our coaches on how we just kept roaming through that. It was definitely upstream the entire way, but we managed to find a way, just like we always do.
Now, I asked you after that clincher at Nitro, you know, if it would be difficult to turn around and get back up to play Scott twice, and you said that's what seniors do, and obviously you guys were able to do that in a couple close games, two-run games both times. Was it more difficult than you thought? And, you know, how proud of you are you of the team for kind of grinding through two tough games, maybe tougher than you guys thought they were going to be?
Definitely, yeah. I told the girls these are going to be the two hardest games that we're going to play. And, you know, we're coming off those big emotional wins, and it's hard for sometimes for teams to kind of get grounded and say, all right, we got to put our head back down and we have to continue to play the game that we're playing. But I think we kind of started out flat against Scott both times, but everybody kind of came together and said, all right, we're the team to win this. We want to win this. We want this more. And everybody just collectively kind of said, let's continue to do what we've been doing all year, which is having quality at bats, the plate, airless defense. And, you know, everybody was focused and everybody wanted it just as much as the seniors did. So I'm just really proud of the girls for being able to stay focused through our region after those big wins. And we plan to continue to do that through the state tournament. So I'm excited to be able to help lead these girls, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
Talk about that clincher, Macy Bogus on the mound. She was really big. Can you talk about how big she was clinching that game? You know, obviously the catcher going back and forth, but can you talk about the rhythm and what she did to clinch the series there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's been a workhorse for us here these past couple of games. And discredit to our other pitchers. We've got three other pitchers that are just quality pitchers as well. But, you know, Macy's kind of got the nod lately. She's just been on fire. You know, her and I work really well together, and thankfully we're both going to Youngstown State here soon. So she's just been great. Her pitches have been just on fire, and sometimes we haven't got the calls we've wanted, and she's really battled through that adversity and kind of said, you know what, I want to come out here and dominate. And that's exactly what she's done. She's just been absolutely flawless for us.
When you guys step out on the field there Wednesday, you think it's going to be tough to kind of keep the nerves down? This is somewhere that none of you have been in your lifetime, as you reminded me at Nitro. So thank you for reminding me how old I am. But
that's 19 years. Yeah, 03.
Yes.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, pressure is a privilege for us. You know, I feel like a lot of people think we're not supposed to be in that state tournament. We weren't supposed to make it past Nitro, and we just continue to defy the odds. But once again, it's kind of the senior's job to say, hey, we deserve to be here. We've worked hard. It's okay to be nervous, but, you know, once we step on the field, that we need to get zoned in and be ready. Some of the other teams like Oakland and Hoover have been there before. And, you know, Coach Hensley told us we're playing with house money. So we're just going to lay it out on the line and see what happens. We're going to give it our all, and whatever happens, happens.
You know, speaking of Coach Hensley, you know, one of the great guys in local prep sports, no doubt. But, you know, when those doors are closed and you're in practice, I've seen him get fiery with an umpire or two over the last 10 years. Do you guys see that side of him? Is he kind of a different guy when you guys are at practice?
You know, yeah, Coach Hensley, he's always the first to, you know, tell us after we make a mistake that it's all right. But he's not afraid to jump on us, and that's every coach does that. He knows when the right time to jump on us is and when it's the right time to love us up a little bit. And when Coach Hensley gets upset with an umpire, it's something pretty bad. So when he gets upset, we get a little upset too, because you know, we don't see that side of Coach Hensley unless he needs to show it. So when he gets onto umpires, we kind of come together in our huddle and say, all right, Coach Hensley's fired up and we need to be too. We need to get behind our coach and we need to show, you know, that that maybe wasn't the right call, but that's okay. We can get over it. We can battle through that adversity and we can make him proud.
You know, one thing that people forget with the state tournament, and I'm sure it's dawned on you, you know, no matter what happens on Wednesday and Thursday, this is it for you, right? For all the seniors. Have you thought about that at all? And do you think that's going to be emotional when the end comes, no matter if it's Wednesday or Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, definitely. I've tried to prepare myself and we talked to the girls before the game, like this could be our seniors' last game, my last game. So I try to prepare myself every game that if it is, I got to hold it together for my team. But, you know, now that we've made it to the state tournament, that last game is going to be brutal on me and the other two seniors, Jada and Lola. So, you know, some of the underclassmen say, or our juniors mostly say, like, you know, we need to play this game for our seniors. You know, this is it for them. This could be their last game. So I think that's what's kept us going. And it's really dangerous the way that we play because, you know, we're just laying it on the line. And that's when we play our best ball is when we play for each other and play for our coaches in our town. So, yeah, it's going to be an emotional game and I'm so excited for it. It's going to be an awesome opportunity.
Now, I don't want to alarm you or anything, but since the postseason's begun, your batting average has plummeted from 580 to 558. You okay?
Oh, no.
Hey, she went 2-for-4 in her last game.
So. Well, you know, you're really worried when it comes down to 558.
Yeah,
you know?
It's really rough.
Yeah. So we were just making sure there's no slump. You're all good. No injuries, no nothing like that.
No, I'm good right now.
Well, Kennedy, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes.
Best of luck Wednesday, and we will be there to see it. So, like I said, best of luck, and thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you as well, Ryan, for covering girls sports in West Virginia. I'm just so thankful that you give us the platform to kind of share our game. And I know softball is a growing game, especially in West Virginia. And I just really thank you for coming to our games and supporting us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're going to make him cry.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get misty here.
You're also making his head way bigger, and I got no credit. So thank you, Brandon.
I was also emotional because Brandon called me ugly when we opened the show. So it's been a rough day. So thank you. That meant a lot.
Thank you, Kennedy.
Thank you so much. We'll see you Wednesday, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
There we go.
There she is.
Good stuff. That's great. You deserve that,
well,
man.
That's
that
why
good.
I brought her on. I knew that.
She would give you credit.
We set that up for you. No, I'm just kidding. Not at all. No,
she's great, man.
She's a great interview for sure. I knew she would be
good on this platform. So. With high school kids, you just never know what you're going to get when you interview them. You just don't. And a lot of them don't do interviews. So, a lot of them are shy and they'll give you, there's a little short answers, but she's very well spoken. So
yeah, always really has good. Been. Yeah. And I'm telling you, you know, I didn't bring this up with her on air, but you know, if the Kanawha Valley had a hitter of the year award, she'd probably win it. I mean, she's
not a bad man.
558 with 14 doubles and 7 home runs. She leads the Kanawha Valley in RBIs and doubles. She's got 46 RBIs. That's and she's crazy. Just been a machine in the middle of that lineup all year long. You know, Lena Elkins, a pitcher of the year candidate. She gave up one home run this year. That was her.
Yep.
Yeah. And
did you get any pointers from her?
I may need some to take on Mathis.
When are we doing that?
We'll get to that. Let me get through this week, and we will get to that.
I know you. I know you brought it up in our text, right?
Yeah.
When we're doing that,
we got to see.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna let him forget this.
No, I'm not forgetting. Trust me.
I'm definitely gonna be there. We're gonna do a broadcast with it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, Class AA, you got Oak Glen and Herbert Hoover at 9:45.
Rematch of the state championship game last year.
And then Shady Spring and Winfield 30 minutes after that one.
Correct.
So that ought to be a
nice
Class AA tournament right
now. You've seen enough state championships, and Brandon, you've seen it always seems like AA is just, when you're talking about competitiveness, it's like that's the sweet spot where you've got all the competitive teams. And you have to look no further than that section she was talking about. I mean, Nitro and Sissonville are both state tournament quality teams, no doubt. So all four of those teams had to work to get there. And, you know, really, I was looking at that one and the AAA field. Now, single A, I don't know as much about. I know Wahama's back and they're good and they just beat a really good man team. But double A and triple A, wide open, I feel like. It's not, you know, it's not like it's been. Of course, last year, I think St. Albans was probably the favorite, and then Midland got them, so it didn't really matter much. But, you know, that's probably a team we haven't given enough credit to. St. Albans lost six seniors from that school, that squad last year, and they're right back here. I'm not sure everyone thought they would be here, but here they are. So, and that, you know, you're talking about a team with some experience now in the state tournament level. You wonder, you know, Taven Stevenson, the state player of the year, is back. She's still here. I think they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough out this week, I think.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so.
I need to remind everybody that it'll be on video productions, mm-hmm. Facebook, and yep. YouTube, also NFHS Network. But
yeah,
those three places you can watch all the games, the entire tournament. Because, of course, this tournament, you got games going on at the same time on mm-hmm. all three fields.
Right. So
this is great that you can go back and watch. Back and,
yeah, right.
Because so, there's exactly. going to be some good games. If you're there, there's going to be some good mm-hmm. games you're going to miss.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, like Ryan said, when you get into the double A and, you know, you see it even football, basketball and stuff like that. I mean, it gets crazy. But that's great competition up there.
Yeah. And, you know, Hoover's just, they're searching for some history. And, you know, this will be their fifth in a row. That would tie the mm-hmm. longest streak ever. It'd be a three-way tie. Buffalo did it and Hurricane did
Hurricane,
it.
Yeah.
And I just love, you know, there's certain things I love about certain coaches, and I asked Missy Smith, I'm like, hey, does five in a row mean anything to you? Because mm-hmm. a lot of coaches, you know, they're going to give you the she said, it means everything.
Yeah, she's, I mean, okay. Cool. Yeah, when I talked to her, you know, she's, that was what we talked about, was like, you have potential of history here. And, you know, obviously, and I think, you know, that question I asked her at the end where I said, you know, outside of, and I like to ask coaches that, as far as outside of, like, championships and stuff, like, what makes you feel accomplished as a coach? And she gave a really good answer. Obviously, she said, I love to win championships. But she talked about, you know, the girls and, you know, being a mentor and just being around that. And that's really cool. I like that, too, because everybody always asks coaches about, you know, championships or their success. And I just wanted to hear what she said about something outside of that. She gave a really good answer. So she does care about the the championships, but she's also really,
she's just the ultimate competitor, and mm-hmm. it's so good to, like, it's refreshing, because you know, one thing, she still holds a grudge against me because she thinks I underrated Delaney Buckner.
Oh yeah, I remember
from like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
so I ask her, you know, this week, because I do feel that myself and probably some other, but mostly me, I'm mostly pointing myself, probably have undervalued what Grayson Buckner's done at Hoover. Mm-hmm. She just doesn't have the same stats that Delaney did. She doesn't strike out as many hitters. So you tend to forget that she's over here going 19-2 every year, and she's got three state titles or mm-hmm. two, and going for a third here too. And I asked Missy, I'm like, you know, have we underrated Grayson Buckner? And she said 1,000%, but you underrated Delaney too, so it doesn't surprise me. I'm like, oh. For a minute, I'm kind of taken aback.
No, they don't forget.
But then I'm like, you know what? I really appreciate that. Like,
that's great.
It's just like, that's who she is.
She's
like,
honest for yeah, sure.
And maybe she's right. Maybe we did. I don't know. But and if she does listen to this, just know, Missy, I think Delaney's probably the best pitcher I covered for her career. I mean, I think she's great, but. But I was able to do a story on Grayson last week, and what a great kid she was to talk to as well. So there's a bunch of them up that are going to end careers next week, and she's one of them too. She's a senior as well. So
yeah,
all the more reason to come out, get a parking spot early, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And
starting early there too.
Out,
so
check out the I'll be field side at AA. Grant will be up there at AAA. Come say hey to us, and you know.
Got the preview coming out here. So.
Break up a fight if someone from the SSAC tries to fight me. I don't know.
Let's see. Have you had anybody reach out to you at all? No. You haven't heard anything? It's all quiet.
No, we're going in blind tomorrow. Jack might have a lot to film
waiting.
Tomorrow. They're waiting. If they're up there setting the field up tomorrow, Jack might get some really good footage.
That's really why Grant and I are doing this preview for you.
Yeah. No, I think those guys know it's nothing personal.
No, I know. It's yeah.
Had to be done.
Yeah. It did have to be done. You put it out there for sure. But you had a lot of positivity out of that. So
yeah,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So. People appreciated it.
Yep. So you want to go to break and come back
yeah.
in here?
Yeah, we can take a break. I'm not sure. We may have one more guest, but yeah, we're
I told him 12:30, but I still haven't heard anything. So
okay.
If not, we've got plenty to talk about when I come back in, including how bad NASCAR sucked yesterday.
Okay.
If you want to do that.
Yeah, and I did something this weekend I've never done before, so it's not going to be as...
say that earlier?
It's not going to be...
Who cares about NASCAR at a time like this?
It's nothing crazy. It's just something I found funny.
This is the kind of things that this show is built on, Brandon.
Yeah, well, I'll tell that when we get back.
Let's go.
All right, we'll be back here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Prince on the ground. Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. I'm Brandon Lowe. Next to me, Ryan Pritt, and across from me, the beautiful Jack Withrow.
That's twice.
And I said that I have semi-beautiful Ryan with... No, I'm just kidding.
Semi-beautiful.
No, I said I did something this weekend, and these guys think it's going to be something huge, but it's just something I found it funny because I'm like 7 years old as far as when
we have a drum roll, Jack?
We did not.
No. So
a lot cooler if we did.
I was lying in bed with the wife on
wait Saturday. Hey, this is a family show.
Hold up,
Brandon. Oh yeah, I'm not going anywhere like that. This is completely different. And my stomach started hurting really bad, so I was like, man. And so I was like, I'll just squeak one out here.
Oh my god. Again, family show.
And I let out like, you know, a pretty good sized fart.
Really?
And no, this is the kicker. So I thought my wife heard it, but she didn't hear it, and she just was asleep. Then, like 2 minutes later, she wakes up. Our dog sleeps up in the room on a bed over here, and she wakes up out of a cold sleep, and she's like, "Did the dog poop on the floor?" And she looks over there.
Yes.
And I'm like, "No, that was just me." So there you go.
Well, you had an opportunity.
I woke her up out
of
a
blame
dead
it
sleep.
On the dog.
Yeah, but I woke her. I was proud of
it. Not going to know.
I woke her up out of a dead sleep just by the smell, not the sound of it. That's an accomplishment.
This was the story we were waiting on.
This was it.
That's it.
Something we're going to have to cut from the show.
I told you. I was pretty proud of it.
I'm not sure HD Media is going to want to put this out on socials.
What are you talking about?
You're telling fart stories on the air.
Oh, we've said worse on radio.
So I did something much worse this weekend than a
worse
fart.
Worse than that?
Than a fart, yeah.
Okay. But I mean, I woke up out of a cold sleep. That's pretty impressive.
For the first time.
It is impressive.
For the first time in probably 6 years. I watched an NBA basketball game this week.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
now you're
yeah.
Yeah, I watched some playoffs this weekend, too.
I watched Celtics Heat Game 3 Saturday night.
Yeah, I didn't watch
this
that.
This is what I've been missing, huh?
I watched Mavs and Warriors.
Actually, so I flipped
you
it over.
You watched the whole entire game.
Okay. In fairness, I flipped it over early second quarter, and the Heat were already up like 20 or whatever.
Yeah, they destroyed the Celtics.
Now, the first thing I see is a Boston Celtics guy who I've been told since is like a top five player in the league, Jason Tatum. Never heard of him. Never watched him.
Yeah, played at Duke.
The very first possession, he takes 6 steps into a defender, and the walk is called.
He took 6 steps?
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, so what are we, like, why am I watching this again? But I persevered because, you know, I've heard some good things. I listen to Bill Simmons a lot, obviously, and that's all they talk about.
It's a lot of
NBA.
Yeah.
And it's really weird because the podcast he does with Russillo is more entertaining than the actual games they're talking about. But I did watch, and the Heat registered a big win, obviously, and it got close late. They were up like $100 million in the first half. I don't know. There's something missing. Like, if you watched an NBA game, either one of you will, even in the playoffs, part of it, you know what part of it is? I hate that they play music and sound effects while a team has the ball.
Yeah.
Like, why? Like, it just seems to take away something from the game to me.
Yeah,
because the fans were loud. I mean, that place was rocking. It's just Boston Garden, right?
That's TD Garden. Yeah, that's the new one that they have.
But they'd be same, yeah, you know,
same
thing.
Crowd.
Yeah, and they were. I mean, it was a great environment in there. Why can't you just hear that? Why do I need the dun dun dun?
Like, oh no!
Just stop.
I don't like watching the regular season NBA. I've never done that. There's 82 games. It's too long. But I do love the playoffs, and I love the playoffs. And it makes me sound terrible because it makes me sound like I'm not even a fan of it. But I like when you get deeper in the playoffs because that's when things really pick up. That's when guys start playing harder defense, and you get. I like that. It takes forever though for the NBA to come around and actually have, you know, consistent. I guess you're into it. You know, the crowd and the crowd's into it. You got sellouts like those series, and I know. You and I even went back and forth with those with the Cavs and the Warriors whenever they had LeBron and that Warriors team and those crowds there and at the Warriors. I mean, they were fun. That's what I like.
You know,
but I love college basketball. That's my thing. I like NBA, but I like college basketball.
The early days of those Warriors teams when they like won their first one. I'm talking before KD got there.
Sure, so yeah.
What was that, like 15, 16, whenever that was, 14, I don't know. They were fun to watch because they were doing something that no one else had done with the whole spread. Hey, we have Clay, we have Draymond, we have Steph, we can make threes from everywhere.
Yep.
What it looked like to me Saturday night, and again, I have a one-game sample from 6 years, so please don't kill me, is it looks like everyone's trying to run the Warriors offense except nobody has the shooters the Warriors did.
Yeah.
It was a three-point shooting contest. Second quarter, they're just building brick. They get to build houses. It was awful.
Yeah, well, it's a different. It's spread it out. That whole offense they used to do even a couple years ago, as I forget the name of it now, but it's gone. Now it's just, I mean, the things Luka's doing with the Mavs is just he's a beast. The size that he has, he's like a new Dirk with the Mavs. So I like watching him play.
Is that the guy that Wiggins killed last
year? Yeah, dunked on him. Yeah, and he gave him credit for that. Luka's the thing I like about Luka, too, is his personality is great, too. He talks to the fans and talks trash. He's just fun to watch.
Do you watch the NBA?
I do not. I haven't watched the NBA since the 1988 Lakers-Celtics series.
Oh, yeah?
So you didn't watch any of the Jordan era, either?
You watched none of the Jordan Bulls?
Very.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why is that? Just curious.
I don't know.
Just not an NBA guy.
See, yeah. I just can't. Like, I've watched the whole, from the second quarter on, I watched the rest of the game, and it was just like, it's not entertaining to me at all.
I just like, I'll pick my, like, I don't like that Celtics Heat series anyway. I think it's a terrible matchup.
And I've got friends in a group chat. I have one in particular who's trying to tell me that Joel Embiid would average like 30 and 25 if he played in the 90s. And I'm like, well,
no.
See, the difference is people played defense in the 90s and you were allowed to kill people.
No, and the offense was different. There's no way.
They're like, oh, teams only scored 90 points in the 90s. Everyone now is more skilled. And I'm like, what are you talking? If Jordan played in these roles, he would average 50.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree that I think the skill set and the way the size of guys are different. I will say that
athleticism and
athleticism is different.
But don't you agree that part of that is advances in nutrition, sure, and strength training? Yeah,
absolutely.
Like they always point to Luke Longley. I'm like, if Luke Longley played now, he wouldn't look like he did then.
No,
he'd have been training since age 9.
Yeah, yeah,
he would be jacked.
And let's not forget, Luke Longley was a very good basketball. I mean,
you can't tell them that though.
I mean,
that's what kills me.
Australian royalty is what he is. He goes over there, and everybody knows who he is.
Like, I think like one of them was telling me that that John Stockton wasn't like a top 25 point guard of all time, and I'm like, what?
No,
that's the career leader in steals and assists, I believe.
Yeah, no, that's stupid. They said that.
Yeah,
you need to get out of that chat.
He wouldn't average 5 and 4. I'm like, okay.
No, John Stockton would slice up everybody in this new.
But I think it comes down to you can't compare eras because of what we're talking about.
It's different.
Natural human evolution. First of all, people are bigger now than they were 50 years ago.
Different offenses, different everything.
50 years ago, doctors told you smoking cigarettes was healthy. I'm just saying, like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I will say that the product, I'm still on the, I can't watch it. I just can't. I tried.
Bring back Kurt Rambis.
Kurt Rambis from the Knicks?
Bill Laimbeer.
Is Rambis? Yeah. No, Rambis is Lakers. From the Lakers. Yeah. He's the guy with the glasses that got Bill into Laimbeer. It with Laimbeer.
He just chokeslammed somebody.
The Detroit teams.
That was Laimbeer.
That's who Jordan had to go against when he was young. Those guys literally would just tackle him.
Well, that's who pushed him. And, you know, if you watch the documentary, The Last Dance, that's what they talked about is they don't let Michael get to the basket.
We'll just tackle him. If you touch LeBron on the forehead, he cries. So I just can't.
And a flop.
I can't with this. Anyway, for me.
No, I mean, I'm with you. I still enjoy NBA playoff basketball. Like, I'll tune in. I don't watch every game, but like if we get to the finals, you know, I'll probably watch a little bit, but I'm not into it as much as I used to.
Shifting gears literally. Just real
little NASCAR.
3 quick minutes on NASCAR, since I know you guys don't care less probably about NASCAR than you do playoff basketball. Last night was a joke.
I pay attention because of our league.
Where were they racing at?
It was the All-Star race. which every year they find.
Wait.
What? Yeah, they have an all-star racetrack. Mm-hmm. This has been going on since like the 80s or longer. Every year they try to find another way to make it more complicated than it should be. So if I like tried to explain to you the format of this race, you would probably, your head would just explode.
Where was it?
Texas.
Texas. Yeah. Texas Motor Speedway.
Which for 30 years it was in Charlotte. They moved it to Bristol 2 years ago, and then they moved it to Texas last year. Here's the problem. People were, well, one of many problems. One problem, people were mad at it being in Charlotte because typically a mile and a half track tends to get a little boring. Well, guess what Texas is?
A mile and a half.
Makes so much sense, right? I mean, Charlotte's literally the hub of NASCAR. Right in the south. Yeah. A lot of the team shops are in Charlotte. Hey, let's move it to Texas where half of the crowd's going to show up. And then let's run it on Sunday night so even less of the crowd's going to show up because guess what? People work on Monday.
Yeah.
But that all aside, the race was terrible. Nobody can pass anybody with these new cars, and they've yet to figure out how to create a tire for it that doesn't explode every 20 laps. So basically every 20 laps, one of the best cars on the track blows a tire, hits the wall, and is out of the race. It's every week. It's terrible. Figure it out. Third, they introduced these new rules last night. So every week in a race, right, leader gets to the white flag. Means there's one lap to go. If a caution happens after that point, the race ends.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever's leading, as long as he gets to the white flag, done. For whatever reason, last night in the All-Star race, they decide, you know what? We're going to make it to where the race has to end under green flag. Why, I don't know. But here's what happens. Ryan Blaney is dominating this thing. He's up by like 3 seconds. No one's even close to him. Takes the white flag. Comes around. You know, he's doing his deal. He's driving. Comes out of turn four. And as he's coming out of turn four, Ricky Stenhouse, who's still on the backstretch, hits the wall. Not close to anyone, no reason to throw a yellow flag and slow this race down. And all of a sudden, NASCAR's like, hey, this race has been terrible. You know what would make it great is if we restart everybody. Restart.
Oh, my God.
So they show the camera angle, and Ryan Blaney going 190 is from me to that shelf from the checkered flag, and all of a sudden they throw the yellow. He thinks he's won the race. So he drops the window net down. He's got his arm hanging out of the car. His pit crew's celebrating all up and down the – yeah.
Oh, my God.
By the way, there's a rule in NASCAR. You can't compete unless your window net's up. Guess what's impossible to do from inside the car?
Put that window net up.
So under the caution lap now, you see him in the end. He's got both hands hanging out. He's driving with his knees under caution, trying to get this window net back
My
up.
Wife.
Yeah.
Putting makeup on.
And meanwhile, no one understands what's going on because they just snuck this rule in for absolutely no reason.
That's crazy.
And then threw a caution for even less reason because you throw a caution to keep people from hitting each other when they're stopped.
Sure.
Stenhouse was like last. No one's around him. He's actually driving off. Like, no one stopped. So, under these caution laps, Blaney's fighting the wheel and trying to get this thing back up. And somehow he, like, rigs it and makeshifts it to where it's sticking, but it's on the outside of the car instead of on the inside. I don't even know how he did it. I don't know if he had super glue in there or what. But it's, like, crooked. Like, you could still see, like, the top of his head. And, of course, they do that in case you wreck and someone slams you in the, which we've seen, like, Ryan Newman almost died that way with the window net. And then they let him start anyway. So they start, and they're going into turn one, and he comes up and, like, cuts the nose off of Hamlin. Had Denny Hamlin been 2 inches more forward, they wreck. And if Blaney gets turned over on his hood with no window net, now all of a sudden you got disaster. But thankfully he made it. He ended up winning the race anyway, which is great. But afterwards, Hamlin's pissed because he's like, I mean, is it a rule that you can drive with your window net or not? He's like, he should have won the race.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, but why are we only choosing to acknowledge some rules?
Some rules and the
under
others.
Under rule, Blaney should have been black flag and not even been allowed to restart the second time, which would have made Hamlin the leader. And this is, I mean, why is it this difficult?
That's crazy.
Just why are we changing rules that don't need to be changed?
I'm
sitting at home on the couch, like, in utter disbelief. Like, how did we get here? It's a race. Line them up and let them run 100 laps and just be done with the damn thing. It's not that hard.
Yeah, they should have just let him go across the first time.
Yes.
If Stenhouse is out of the race and he's back there, who cares? Like, he didn't wreck anybody.
Why do you change that rule? That rule doesn't need change. Like, it's one race. Like, that's for an stupid all-star race?
Yeah, an all-star race at that.
But, I mean, this all happens after, like, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Ross Chastain, all of which were probably three of the four fastest cars in the race, get knocked out because tires and resulting wrecks. Chase Elliott, too. They were all gone in the first 10, 15 laps.
Thank God I picked Kyle Larson.
It's like, like, why can Goodyear not create a tire that can last in this car? I don't understand it.
Who'd you end up picking?
Hamlin.
Hamlin?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did okay.
That added to it.
Which, you know, had they disqualified Blaney, I would have won. You would have won. And I still wouldn't have probably even counted it because it was so stupid that Blaney was just not the winner of this race. But anyway, I got some reaction on Twitter. I know a lot of people in this state watch NASCAR, so I'm going to continue to bring it up on this show every now and then.
Sure.
But people were heated about this last night. It was a big deal.
Ryan is Dale's nephew. Dale Blaney.
It's not Dale. It's God, you asked me too quick. His dad was a racer.
His dad's Dave.
Dave Blaney, yes.
Dave's brother is Dale Blaney that played basketball at WU.
Okay, yeah. Dave Blaney is his father, yeah.
Okay, so he's his nephew. Okay.
Yeah, and Dave was a great – I think most of Dave's success, he drove in NASCAR where he had a lot of, like, dirt track and late models, except Blaney's he's a threat to win a title at the highest level right now. He's a good
driver. They're from Ohio, I believe.
Yeah, so but happy for him that ended up the right way. Even if it broke a rule in Hamlin. And that's the thing. Hamlin gets so much hell from NASCAR fans, but most of the time he's right. He was right last night. Like, it's not what anyone wanted to see. And he even said, he's like, he should have won the race. The race is over. But he didn't. And then they broke a rule to let him win the race. By the way, if I wreck him, he might die.
That's what I was about to say. The craziest part about all of that is you throw the flag. You throw this flag out right before he's about to go across the finish line for Stenhouse, who has nothing's going on with that. They could have just let it happen. Then you restart the race. Guy can't get his netting up. And he almost wrecks, and he almost, like, possibly could have put him in extreme danger of dying. Like,
that's what Hamlin said, crazy. 2 inches further forward, and this is a bad thing.
I mean, NASCAR, that would have been a really bad look.
Shout out to Ricky Stenhouse for remembering that he has to wreck every single race at the nick of time. You almost didn't get it in, man. Almost. But you did, so congrats.
I can't remember if I've picked him this year yet, but.
Anyway.
Here's a fun fact.
All right.
I Googled Dale Blaney. He was drafted in 1986 by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, okay.
Quit. So he could go into racing before the season started.
Nice. What year was that? What did you say?
86.
86, man, okay.
And right in the Showtime era, too.
Yeah, because Magic played in the title game, what, in 88? Yeah.
And again in 91 when the Bulls started.
No, I meant like he played in the college national championship too.
Oh, that was 80.
That was 79.
Yeah.
79. Yeah, yeah.
78, 79.
79 when him and
Bird. Indiana State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
79. So
he was at Michigan State.
But yeah, 88, 90. That'd be the Showtime.
That's fascinating little family story there from the Blaneys, though.
Yeah.
We need to reach out and get one of them on.
I knew Dale Blaney that played at WU was into racing.
Yeah.
And so.
So Dave is the one that...
Dave's Dale's brother, which is Ryan's dad.
Okay.
So Dale...
There's a lot of local NASCAR talents, like, golfer Davey Jude from down Kermit. His dad was a Xfinity driver.
Really?
He drove on the... I guess back then it was the... I don't know. It's been called 18 different things, kind of like the web.com tour, but whatever it was called. But the Busch series, I believe, is what it was called in the 80s, because now we're not allowed to talk about beer or cigarettes, but they still exist. It was the Busch series. You had the Winston Cup and the Busch series.
Yeah.
That's the way it ought to be, damn it.
That is.
Not that I'm advocating
you. Smoke 800 packs of Marlboros and get a,
I mean, seriously, though, guys, have you ever heard of one human being on this planet that was like, you know, I've been addicted to cigarettes for 20 years, and I really blame NASCAR. Because if it wouldn't have been called the Winston Cup, I'd have never known what a cigarette was. Like, has there ever been a human being that said this?
No, and I think just a side, a little sidebar here, I worked at a gas station. There was a stereotypical person would come in and buy certain cigarettes, and Winston was that.
Oh yeah,
blue collar dude.
Winston Reds
coming in. Yeah, get Cowboy Killers, Marlboro Reds. But you knew who it was. That was, you knew what cigarette they're gonna get. You could almost guess
even on the video game.
I already got you, Bob.
Yeah, I got you.
Like the video game, right? Like. For the longest time, the two car was always a Miller Lite car. And this goes back to, like, the 80s when Rusty Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
And every video game would get released, they would, like, blur out. No, they do the logo, but instead of like Miller Lite, it would say Rusty. Like nice. In case some 8-year-old was playing a nice. Six. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to go drink a Miller Lite. Just why? Because I just played this video game. Like what?
Do you think they did that too so they didn't have to pay them money?
Have you noticed, by the way,
could have done that too.
That when you see like a TV 14 or TV MA, it'll say like nudity, violence, mm-hmm. smoking.
I haven't seen that. The smoking? Yeah,
smoking cigarettes
is on, helps in the rating?
Determine a TV rating now.
I didn't know that.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I thought the S standards just, did it say smoking on it?
Yes, it says smoking.
Okay. I thought, yeah. I haven't seen that.
God forbid they watch any movie that came out prior to 1989.
Oh, yeah, smoking all the time.
I went back and watched some of those, and, dude, it's amazing how much cigarette smoking.
Go watch Casino. Yeah. You don't want to smoke, yeah. even if you're not a smoker.
That's even after 89. That's like 95, right?
I mean, there's not one scene he doesn't have a cigarette in his hand. Robert De Niro's character.
I like a good movie smoking scene.
Me too.
Good. I like it when it's on, like, an airplane or in a hospital, and you're just like, wow, people actually used to do that.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually...
In a restaurant.
That's actually my one kind of trigger with cigarettes now. Where I've quit for so long is watching it on screen in a movie.
So that makes you want one.
Yeah, because I'll see it and I'm like, man, that looks so relaxed. Well, that's a cool scene.
The good thing is, that in case you ever want to watch a TV show now, you'll know ahead of time, so you don't have to watch it.
I'll say smoking. Yep, turn the
channel. Can't watch that one.
Yeah. No, sometimes I'll do that. I'm like, man, that looks good right now. I'd like to, but, you know, obviously I don't do it. But I do that sometimes. I don't know why. There's just not drinking, not being around other people smoking.
So I haven't had a cigar in 51 days.
I was going to ask you about that. For some reason, it hit me the other day to ask you because yeah. I haven't seen you smoke them.
Yeah.
That's good.
51 days.
Pretty That's good. About it, so. I'm sure your mom's happy about that. When she's on you all the time yeah, about it.
He's addicted to seeds now, but.
Well, I'm telling you what, I was for like 2 weeks. And then I bought a bag and I looked at the sodium on the back and I haven't touched
it. Oh, it's rough.
It's like 500% of yeah. your day. I'm like, yeah. I'm going to have a heart attack quicker this way. So I had to put those down too, and now I just chew gum until my teeth hurt.
They're actually really hard on your digestive system too.
Yeah.
So it's just tearing you up inside.
Yeah. So.
But they're so addictive though.
They are. Oh my god. I love being especially outside on a flavor chair, man. It's yeah, and that's I miss that. I miss a lot of things.
So you're not gonna have seeds up there on Wednesday and Thursday?
No, I don't want to spit them all over Bryce Castor's feet anyway. He deserves better than that. But. You know, one last thing here before we wrap sure. this baby up. I don't yeah. know what else we could get to that we haven't gotten to already. Justin Thomas at the PGA yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get to see it. I got home right as the last playoff hole was ending. I watched all day Saturday, though, before the aforementioned Celtics Heat fiasco. But always, I don't know if you guys watched. Did you guys watch the PGA yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
Always tough to see a guy double bogey the last hole.
Yeah.
And just miss.
Crap the bed.
And he had held that lead since I was watching it on Saturday through mm-hmm. 3-4 rounds and it played so well out of nowhere. No one knows who this guy is. And that's so tough. That's the first thing I come out of that tournament as just, you know, thoughts to Mito Pereira. I know he won a bunch of money, but I'm sure none of that mattered today or yesterday. So I hope he can recover from that. Because he really played.
I watched that. Yeah, that was terrible.
Hell of a 71 holes. And then.
What was the guy over in the British Vandeveld?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. That guy made like an 11 on hole. He had like a 5-shot lead. That one's.
It was on hole 18.
That's the gold standard of holy hell. Did that really
go so far? Yeah. Vandeveld.
John Vandeveld.
Yeah. No, it just shows too, like, how damn good. A competition for you to just double bogey, and all of a sudden you're done.
I mean, Adam Scott, I remember, had a 3-shot lead at the British. I don't know, this was like 15, 16, and bogeyed the last four holes, and Ernie Els won.
Yeah.
Won probably way later in his career than he should have.
I mean, Justin Thomas was down by 7.
To start the day.
Shots yeah. to start the day.
And that golf course tore him up. Yeah. I mean, it was they got all that wind. You talk about weather changes. The heat mm-hmm. index was 100 on Friday, and it was 52 on Saturday.
Yeah.
They all had, like, ski masks on.
Yeah.
You had the wind going 25. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's a completely different golf course. Like, every day they played it. I mean, and Justin Thomas earned it. Credit to him, and then outlasted Will Zalatoris in a playoff. And by the way, Will's going to get one. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
knocking on the door every time. So, but yeah, man, that's just I saw that at the West Virginia Amateur, in 19. Cam Rome had a one-shot lead stepping onto the 18th tee box, and he was a guy that before then, you know, you had probably heard of, but had never really won anything of that caliber on the WGA, and he double bogeys 18 to fall out of a three-player playoff, and obviously that is a way smaller scale than the PGA Championship, but I remember Cam, I mean, I had to wait like 25, 30 minutes to even talk to the guy. He was inconsolable.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
I can't even imagine blowing, you know, the PGA Championship and then having to turn around and give interviews. I mean, that's just brutal, man. You hate to see it go like that. It's just tough. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
He tied the largest final round comeback. Justin Thomas did. Yeah.
Yeah, and it helps when the golf course is killing everybody. He shot like a 3-under,
yeah, which
might as well have been 12-under the way the course is kicking everybody else's ass. So,
yeah, he got a little help, that's for sure. Yeah. But, yeah, that's crazy.
But
that's,
for him to, yeah, I mean, 3-under on that golf course in those conditions was a hell of a round. That's really good, too.
Yes.
So, good for JT. It had been a while. Speaking of someone who had knocked on the door, and I can't remember when he won his other one. I think his other one is a PGA, too. I think he's got two of them.
He's got two of them now, yep.
And it had been a while, so, you know, good for him, and we'll look forward to the U.S. Open now, right?
Yep, yep. That's going to – I mean,
it's tough to beat major golf, man.
I know. That's what
– so good.
That's what I love it, man, especially this Sunday going in, especially got a nice little – I love it when you got a tight, you know, obviously a tight race there at the top, like where you have, like, you know, maybe – three, even four golfers that are just right there neck and neck, whether it's Masters or whatever it is, and then you see somebody just come out of that top four, that top five underneath there, just sneak up and then take the victory.
And for a while, it looked like it was going to be a runaway. Like, Pereira had him covered Saturday, and then it was just slowly tightened up.
Yeah.
And all that happened while Grant and I were playing in a scramble yesterday.
So. How'd they go?
Pretty good. We finished 11 under as a team. We may have used five of my shots all day. I don't know. Two guys.
A little four-man?
Two guys
or
what? Yeah.
What was the winning score?
I think it was like 16. So I think we finished top five. The two guys that Grant brought in were
pretty good.
Solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you play it?
Diamond Links, Catlettsburg, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
What a unique golf course that place is, by the way.
Is that the first time you've played it?
No, I played it once a while back, but it was one of those where – it's definitely a local knowledge course. Most of your tee shots are blind, and I can't hit what I'm looking at half the time, much less being blind and not be able to see what I'm trying to hit. So, not making excuses for myself. I'm not very good either. So
you're like, where's the hole?
But no, it was a great time, great event. That was the Paul Blazer football scramble. So everybody, you know, good event for them. Had a heck of a turnout. That's a cool fan base down there, and cool program, cool stadium.
Yeah, it is.
So it was good to get down there and play a little bit at a unique golf course, obviously, and have a little fun, man. This time of year, it's needed. So,
yeah, for sure.
Got a one-day break, and now we're back in it today. And we'll go through the end of next week, right? State baseball. And
baseball regionals today. Had some postponements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of the rain. I know George Washington and Greenbrier East are postponed.
Hoover and RCB as well.
Yes, but I believe Cabell Midland and Hurricane today at 6:00.
What a game that'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one. I don't know if you guys got somebody covering that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We will have you covered at HD Media for all your baseball regional needs. And sorry, we should probably bring that up a little more often, but it's just not what I do. And I know that, I don't know, you probably see some high school baseball a little bit, but probably don't. So it's, you know, maybe we need to get on a little bit of that next week.
That sounds good, yeah. Well, I'm actually – this is my last pod until June 10th.
Yes.
Because I'm on vacation, and I got both kids this Friday because school's out.
And,
so.
And one more thing. We're going to come up with a name, but I think we should probably just tell them that starting the second week of June, we're going to try to have a different high school football coach on every show leading up to the season –
yeah,
opener August 26th for most teams. You'd mentioned a couple that were the 25th, but we're going to try to get all of the HD area covered. That includes Coalfields, Huntington area, Charleston area, Lincoln County. We're looking at you too.
Van Bulldogs.
The Van Bulldogs, as Phil Perry reminded me. Thank you, Phil. And thanks for all of his help on getting some numbers. We're going to try to get a master list together and a plan together. And our goal is to bring you one every day. So,
yeah.
we're going to lead you all through the summer. Once baseball ends, the look to football begins, right?
Yep.
So
we'll have 3 weeks there in the
yep
summer. A lot of them will go to team camps, things like that, 7-on-7s.
Yep. Yeah, and so we're going to try to have some fun with it. And if you're listening still, thank you first. If you made it through Brandon's fart story, congrats. but it's impressive. If you out there have anything you want to know from your area football coach, please shoot us a message on social media. Let us know, and we'll definitely take that and try to get that in for you. So,
yep, text line's always wide open for any type of comments, questions, whatever you want to throw at us. 304-405-2828. You can just send any type of question. We'll let you know when the coaches are coming on, and you can throw some stuff at us, and we'll throw it at the coaches.
And the last thing, I promise, I'm done. We were supposed to have Nick Nacho Pauly on today. He's the bassist for area metal band Dead Face Down. Couldn't do it. Had some stuff going on. He messaged me there. But they're playing a show on Saturday in Charleston with all the money going to a good buddy of mine who passed away there about a month ago. Scott Cameron was killed in a motorcycle crash. And they are coming out of retirement to perform on Saturday in Charleston. So I think it's $5 at the door. So if you guys are out and about in Charleston, man, like I said, all the money is being donated to Scott's family. And was a great guy, man. Good friend of mine. Good friend of them, for sure. Pretty much anyone in the Cross Lanes area that knew Scott, he was one of those guys. I know it sounds cliche, but he was one of those guys that didn't have any enemies,
man. Yeah.
Everyone liked that guy, and we all miss him. And like I said, if you're uptown and you like your music a little on the heavier side, like these two guys on this side of the table do, go check them out, man. It's for a good cause, and it'll be good to see Dead Face Down back. They're a good band, so.
Yeah, I've seen them several times. Hung out with those dudes. They're really cool dudes. I remember the first time I saw them, I was like, wow, this exists in Charleston.
Yeah, yeah, they're really good.
I mean, I was like, wow, this is awesome. So quality metal if you're into that.
Yeah.
So. And it's for a good cause. Even if you're not into metal, get yourself a drink or something.
Yeah, hell, just go give them $5 at the door.
Yeah.
$5, guys.
There you go.
Yeah, so.
All right, that wraps it up. Wraps up the show for today. Like I said, I'm off to vacation, all that stuff. Vacation hell, that is. And
that's me and you, big guy.
It'll be you two.
The cat.
The beautiful Jack.
The cat is headed south.
Good-looking Ryan Pritt, as David Lee Roth would say.
Yeah. So
I was going to say, when the cat's away, the mouse will play, but he'll be down there with the mouse. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be.
We're going to try to get Grant to fill in.
Okay. That'll be good.
Maybe we'll get creative. Might
grab somebody off the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get them.
See if one of these guys out here want to come in.
Yeah.
Just tell them, just act like, just say their name's Brandon Lowe and just go with it. They can play me for however many.
Hey, maybe we'll get Donnie in here or something and he can kick off high school series. And
that's a good idea.
We'll figure something out.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I'll be back June 10th. The guys will take the reins and rock it out. And, yeah, that does it for the show today. We do this Mondays and Fridays, 4 p.m. is when it premieres on our social media page, along with HD Media Platforms, YouTube, their websites, wvgazettemail.com, herald-dispatch.com, Twitter at BLRPod as well, at RPrit for Ryan. And you just type in beautiful Jack Withrow, and you'll find him on Twitter as well.
Every time.
All right. That does it for us. Until Friday, thank you for listening and watching the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. Thank you, guys.